1 o'clock having arrived, I'm going to call the House Committee on Taxes to order under Rules 10.01 and remind the public again the best place to find the materials for this meeting is to go to the website, Minnesota House of Representatives, go to committee information, and then go to the Taxes Committee, and on that homepage there, off to the right-hand side. So with that, Ms. Griska, if you would please take the roll.
Marquardt.
Present.
Marquardt, present. Liz Lagarde.
Liz Lagarde, present.
Liz Lagarde, present. Davids.
Davids, present.
Davids, present. Agbaje.
Present.
Agbaje, present. Carlson.
Carlson, present.
Carlson, present. Detmer.
Detmer, present.
Detmer, present. Garofalo.
Garofalo, present.
Garofalo, present. Gomez.
Gomez, present.
Gomez, present. Her.
Her, present.
Her, present. Hertas.
Hertas, present.
Hertas, present. Howard.
Present.
Howard, present. McDonald. McDonald. Miller.
Miller, present.
Miller, present. Moran.
Present.
Moran, present. Mortensen. Mortensen. Robbins. Sandell.
Present.
Sandell, present. Schultz.
Present.
Schultz, present. Stevenson.
Present.
Stevenson, present. Swazinski.
Present.
Swazinski, present. Joachim.
Present.
Joachim, present. McDonald. Mortensen.
Present.
Mortensen, present. Robbins was present earlier. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Ms. Griska. We do have a quorum, and I do see Representative Robbins is on the Zoom, so hopefully you've got her in attendance also. So we first of all go to the approval of the minutes, and Representative Les Lagarde, are you ready to approve the April 8th, 2021 minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Les Lagarde moves the approval of the April 8th, 2021 minutes for the Taxes Committee. Any comments, questions? If not, I'm going to ask members to momentarily unmute themselves as we vote. All those in favor of those minutes, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The motion does prevail. The April 8th, 2021 minutes are approved. So, members, we have a total of six bills. We have the Education Omnibus Bill, the Transportation Omnibus Bill, Representative Greenman Bill on Political Contribution, and then three vehicle bills. And as Representative Swazinski mentioned yesterday, none of the vehicle bills are the transportation bills. They're two education vehicle bills and one tax bill. So the first one is House File 1065. And by the way, members, we'll need to vote on all of these as we're moving them all to Ways and Means. So before we do that, would someone care to move House File 1065? And I don't know if Representative Daphne is here yet.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Oh, there he is. Okay, Representative Moran moves House File 1065 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Daphne, welcome to the committee. Would you, or are you prepared to begin with your bill? And if you want to give us a summary, and then I think we'll have Ms. Adrians go just to the kind of the fiscal tax portions of the bill. Members, while there always is a little latitude given, of course, in taxes committee, I would like to focus primarily on the tax items in these bills, because they have been heard in all of their other respective committees. So, Chair Dabney, welcome to the committee. Your bill has been moved. Please proceed. And you are muted, Chair Dabney. There you go.
Mastering the technology today, Mr. Chair, or actually failing to master the technology today. My apologies for my tardiness in logging in, and I think I owe appreciation to you, but also an appreciation to Representative Youakim. Thank you, Chair Youakim, for moving my bill, if that's what I saw just as I was coming in. House File 1065 is the Education Finance Omnibus Bill for 2021. Proposing a budget for the 22-23 fiscal years that provides schools with stable and secure funding, puts a historic investment into our teachers, particularly in the recruitment and retention of teachers of color and American Indian teachers, so that our school staff look more like our school students. It preserves and makes permanent 4,000 early childhood voluntary pre-kindergarten seats. And in that way, when you couple that with the rigorous coursework emphasis that we see in the high school, including supporting career technical education, you see a real pre-kindergarten to career trajectory built into this bill. Supports a number of community organizations and the idea that children are, you can't take the child out of their family or the family out of the community. We all experience that the schools are the center of our community. We look to build those partnerships and strengthen them through House File 1064. With that, there are a number of small tax proportions that would be of concern to this committee. I would ask Ms. Adrians to assist with that.
Very good. Thank you, Chair Dabney. Ms. Adrians.
Thank you, Chair. And if you don't mind, I'll try to share my screen to show just one document to make it a little bit easier for members to see. Mr. Chair, can you all see a document?
We can.
Great. Thank you very much. The things that we think would be interesting to the tax committee, and of course, please ask any questions that might come up if I don't cover them. But this is the change page that reflects just the added items from House File 1065. And on line 17, this is where the committee did not receive a levy target above zero. So in order to keep any levy interactions from giving us a levy target, the committee a levy target. What the bill does is uses general fund aid to offset any of those levy interactions. And so the three areas where there were levy interactions, career and technical education, so CTE was one of them. And that amount was, they're all rolled into this one line, so I can break it out a little bit. The amount for the CTE levy offset in the first year was $473,000. And then in the second biennium, it's just over $1 million. And this is part of the expand rigorous coursework provision that was part of the governor's recommendation and is in this bill as well. And then the long-term facilities maintenance revenue interaction, that was from, I believe, your bill, Mr. Chair, House File 498. And so that amount of levy interaction is one.
And just Ms. Adrians, what number line are we, just so we can follow that also? What numbered line are we on?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, on line 17.
Thank you.
And it's, and my apologies for just rolling it all into one line, but it that's the way that the interaction we pay for it sort of in one chunk with the general fund aid. And so the The offset for the long-term facilities maintenance revenue, that's just about $1.4 million per year starting in fiscal year 23. And then there was a necessary aid offset for the provision to maintain 4,000 VPK seats that would have otherwise gone away if the provision wasn't included in this bill. And so that amount is about $6.6 million for each biennium of that for that provision. And then, Mr. Chair, the one other item, I'm going to scroll down, and I hope that you're all able to see this. So at the bottom on line 103, this is another part of House File 498, the long-term facilities maintenance expansion. That language triggers an increase in the school building bond ag credit of $8,000 per year. And that's everything, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Adrians, thank you so much. Members, any questions on that? So it's all property tax levy, and as Ms. Adrians had said, the Education Committee had a zero target, so they had to balance everything off on the property tax levy. Okay, I don't see any questions on that. Members, any questions for Chair Dabney on the items pertinent to this committee for the E-12 education omnibus bill? I don't see any. Chair Dabney, any closing comments on your bill?
Mr. Chair, I appreciate the time and attention of you and the committee to this. It's our opportunity to make sure that all Minnesota children have access to a world-class education. And I appreciate member support.
Thank you so much. So Representative Moran moved House File 1065 to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. We need to take a roll call vote. So Ms. Griska, please call the roll.
Marquardt.
Marquardt votes aye.
Marquardt, aye. Lislegard.
Lislegard, aye.
Lislegard, aye. Davids.
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Agbaje.
Aye.
Agbaje, aye. Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Detmer.
Detmer, no.
Detmer, no. Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Gomez.
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Her.
Her, aye.
Her, aye. Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Howard.
Aye.
Howard, aye. McDonald. Miller.
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Moran.
Aye.
Excuse me, again, Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Mortensen?
No.
Mortensen, no. Robbins?
No.
Robbins, no. Sandell?
Aye.
Sandell, aye. Schultz?
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Stevenson?
Aye.
Stevenson, aye. Swazinski?
No.
Swazinski, no. Joachim?
Aye.
Joachim, aye. McDonald? We have 12 ayes, 8 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does prevail. House File 1065 is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Dabney, you have the next bill. I'm going to move House File 1312 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Dabney, to House File 1312.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, let me correct myself from the previous bill. Thank you to Representative Moran, to Chair Moran, for making the motion on on that one. And thank you for making the motion on House File 1312. We're just cleaning up a little statute here.
Sounds good. Any questions on House File 1312 or comments? Representative Sandell, I'm sorry, I saw your hand up actually before we took this. So Representative Sandell, sorry I didn't get to you sooner.
Chair Markford, no problem. Thank you. I don't want to be presumptuous or suggest any ill feelings here. So if I'm out of order, please let me know. I worked with Chair Dabney in the previous session for a couple of years on House Finance, or rather on Education Finance. And we passed a bill out of that committee, and it was on party lines. I wasn't on ed policy this time around, but I've taken a look at the work that they've done, and I approve, and I'm enormously enthusiastic about some of it, and some of it is just fine. But you know, we aren't getting any Republican votes on this bill. And may I ask, am I out of order to ask members of the Republican Party what it is that they object to here, and how it is we could get some votes on this? Because this is, you know, we spend more on education than anything else, and I'd love to be able to go to the floor with a unanimous vote.
Mr. Chairman, that's completely out of order.
Representative Davids, I was going to wait for him to finish. So, yes, that's not appropriate.
Okay.
Representative Sandell, if a member wants to, you know, state why they can, but no, it's like on the House floor, someone asking a member why they would vote yes or no. That is, I don't know. It's for sure inappropriate, if not out of order. So,
thank you, Chair. I apologize for breaking with tradition on that. Thank you.
Very good. Any other thoughts or comments on House File 1312?
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Garofalo.
Representative Garofalo, yes.
Thank you. Well, you know, I know I don't have to answer the question, but Representative Sandell, while he may not have been appropriate in asking the question, I'd like to answer it anyways. So Representative Sandell, I'll tell you why I think a great way to get Republicans to vote for the bills is, number one, is if the PFL was actually doing something about the $1.3 billion in federal money that's coming from the federal government that all authority is being turned over to the governor on. I think that might be a way to get Republicans' approval. Also, at the same time frame, during the shutdown, when our education system, when we had the teachers union suing to keep kids out of the classroom, and instead, our private schools and other public schools were open, providing some school choice so that low-income parents had the same access to private schools that were open at the same time that the rich white kids had. I think that'd be a way to get some Republican votes. And then third and finally is recognizing that the first and original best way to improve improve classroom activity is through teacher quality by expanding pathways into the classroom. I think those are all three ways that you can get some Republican support to vote for bills. And instead of measuring success in the education arena by simply throwing more money into the existing system. So I didn't have to answer the question, but I thought maybe that might be some, Representative Sandell might have a good guidance of where the DFL should be looking if they want Republican votes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Unless this next comment is related to House File 1312, we're not going to debate the Ed Finance Bill. Any other questions referring to House File 1312? Chair Dabney, any closing comments on House File 1312?
Thank you for the rigorous debate on House File 1312.
We will take a roll call vote. Ms. Griska. House File 1312.
Markhort.
Markhort votes aye.
Markhort aye. Liz Lagard.
Liz Lagard aye.
Liz Lagard aye. Davids.
Davids no.
Davids no. Agbaje.
Aye.
Agbaje aye. Carlson.
Carlson aye.
Carlson aye. Detmer.
Detmer nay.
Detmer nay. Garofalo.
Garofalo no.
Garofalo, no. Gomez.
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Her.
Her, aye.
Her, aye. Hertas.
No.
Hertas, no. Howard.
Aye.
Howard, aye. McDonald.
McDonald, nay.
McDonald, nay. Miller.
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Mortensen.
No.
Mortensen, no. Robbins.
No.
Robbins, no. Sandell.
Aye.
Sandell, aye. Schultz.
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Stevenson.
Stevenson, aye.
Stevenson, aye. Swazinski.
Swazinski, no.
Swazinski, no. Joachim.
Yes.
Joachim, yes. We have 12 ayes, 9 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does prevail. House File 1312 is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. I'm going to move next, House File 1313, to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Dabney, House File 1313.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the efforts here. House File 1313 merely deletes some obsolete language from statute. Again, we're cleaning things up here.
Very good. Any thoughts on House File 1313? Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have a thought on House File that we're discussing right now, but I just wanted to comment that Chair Dabney's connection up there in Ely is just outstanding. I've got 20% of my district doesn't even have internet. Can you believe that in Hennepin County? That's just crazy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on House File 1313? See none? Chair Dabney, any closing comments?
Again, I appreciate the vigorous debate on House File 1313, Mr. Chair.
Very good. And with that, we will take the roll on House File 1313. Ms. Griska, please take the roll.
Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Lislegard.
Lislegard, aye.
Lislegard, aye. Davids.
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Agbaje.
Agbaje, aye.
Agbaje, aye. Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Detmer.
Detmer, nay.
Detmer, nay. Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Gomez.
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Her.
Aye.
Her, aye. Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Howard.
Aye.
Howard, aye. McDonald.
I think I'm going to
McDonald, no.
McDonald, no. Miller.
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Mortensen.
No.
Mortensen, no. Robbins.
No.
Robbins, no. Sandell.
Yes, aye.
Sandell, aye. Schultz.
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Stevenson.
Stevenson, aye.
Stevenson, aye. Swazinski.
Swazinski, no.
Swazinski, no. Joachim.
Aye.
Joachim, aye. We have 12 ayes, 9 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does prevail. House File 1313 is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Dabney, I think that completes your business with Taxes Committee for today.
You know, Mr. Chair, I missed the tax committee, and today was a nice reminder of why. Thank you very much for your leadership. I appreciate everyone's efforts today.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
You as well.
Next, we have House File 1684. Anyone care to move House File 1684?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lessegard moves House File 1684 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Hornstein, welcome to the committee. We always welcome your presence. Please proceed. Tell us about House File 1684 briefly, and then we will go to the fiscal portions of the bill.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and it's wonderful to see a lot of old friends here on this committee. I wanted to just briefly explain the bill in broad terms, but I've never really dedicated a bill to anyone in my life, but I was explaining to the Transportation Committee earlier this week that this one I want to dedicate to our friend and former colleague, Representative Bernie Leader, who passed away at the age of 97 in Crookston, Minnesota, this past summer. And for those of you who knew Bernie, he's a World War II veteran, county road engineer, and chair of the Transportation Committee for many years, and a mentor of mine. And what I learned from him is that when crafting a transportation bill, you should really make sure that everybody in the state can benefit from it, that it shouldn't be one region versus the other. It should be balanced regionally. And it should also be balanced in terms of modes. Are we supporting people across the state in improving our infrastructure for roads and bridges, for public transportation, both in the metro and in greater Minnesota? And for those who choose to walk or bike or have to utilize metro mobility and other services for those with disabilities and seniors, are we helping them as well? And so those are the criteria I used in crafting this bill, and this bill accomplishes that. We add new revenue because investments in infrastructure are among the best ways we can address our current economic crisis by creating good-paying jobs, again, across the state, addressing some of the pressing issues that we have in terms of the safety of our system, in terms of ensuring that racial equity can be achieved, and also addressing our climate crisis because transportation is now the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions. And so that's accomplished in this bill, but I wanted to highlight one piece that I think may be of interest to many of you on this committee. When I looked at the committee roster, I saw that a number of you represent districts and communities with small cities, cities the population of 5,000 or under. And we have had a glaring omission in our transportation funding system over the years, where those cities of 5,000 and under have been left out of our dedicated funding formulas. And so we have a mechanism of raising new revenue in this bill that will actually provide ongoing sustainable funding for cities of 5,000 and under. And there are many, many needs in these communities. And so I'm particularly proud of that provision. And I thought that would be of interest to those of you on this committee. And so there are, and of course, we also have, for those in the metro area, a funding to build out our arterial bus rapid transit system, these rapid buses that run on arterial city and suburban streets, have proven to be efficient, effective, very comfortable, with ridership numbers that have actually remained stable here even during a period where transit ridership has decreased. It is a fantastic investment for our money, and we provide resources for that build out. Again, many of these lines are getting people and essential employees to their jobs and really improving people's quality of life in urban and suburban areas. So with that, Mr. Chair, we do have a number of tax interactions in this bill, both in terms of taxes and fees. Some are ongoing that you would find in any transportation bill. Others are new to this bill. And they are in Articles 3 and 6. And we do have Andy Lee from House Fiscal Analyst for the Transportation Committee. And we also have Mr. Matt Burris from House Research, who are available to go through those provisions if you would like, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Chair Hornstein. So if I could call on Mr. Lee, if you would take us through some of those fiscal tax items, that would be great. So welcome to the committee.
Certainly, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll share my screen here and put up the revenue note that just came in from the Department of Revenue. So can you see that, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, we can. Can you make that any larger? I mean, I can see it fine, but if you could make it a little larger, it'd be a little helpful. But if not, that's all right. That's good.
Okay, great. So very briefly, just some kind of introductory structure of the tax elements, which you can find in the bill in Article 3. There's a few other tax items, but the largest tax items are in Article 3. There's a increase change, I should say, to the motor vehicle motor fuels tax or the gas tax, in which the rate that is currently 28.5 cents is then indexed against the highway construction cost inflator from the Federal Highway Administration. And then there's a change in the depreciation for the registration tax or tab fees, and how that calculation comes about in a way that yields more revenue. And then there's also a change in the rate of the motor vehicle sales tax or MFEST. The first two of those are constitutionally dedicated for road uses only, and the motor vehicle sales tax use is split between roads and transit.
So, Mr. Lee, I hate to interrupt, but what lines are you referring to on
I'm trying to get into that a little bit more. Certainly.
Okay.
Scroll down. So the registration tax changes start, and I'll highlight it here, on the revenue note, starting in fiscal 2022 at an increase of $30.2 million,
okay.
And then in the tails ramping up to $41.5 million. There's also a change in the registration tax related to the surcharge on electric vehicles. And so you can see that is a change in the use of that from HUTD and instead going into a special revenue fund for electric vehicle infrastructure. Then the next change I'll highlight here is the motor fuels excise tax change. And that is as I said, indexing the motor fuels tax. So the actual cent rate that is estimated to change based off of that of indexing would be about 1.2 cents in increase relative to the current rate a year. So by fiscal year 2025, that would be about a 5 cent change from the current amount, and that yields about $157 million. In that year. Because of that change, there's a number of tax interactions, and one of them is the qualifying border station credit that is, you can see below, as that's a deduction from that increase. Then there's some changes in the use of the sales tax are attributable to auto parts. So there's an increase in HUTD revenue as a result of the motor fuels tax change, the registration tax change, and the motor vehicle sales tax change. And then some of the currently dedicated statutorily dedicated motor vehicle sales tax revenue that under current law is going to the Highways Your Tax Distribution Fund is redirected for other uses, including small cities, and that is further down in the revenue note. And that cities under 5,000 that are not currently eligible for state road aid. And then also townships, those are unincorporated jurisdictions, and also a small part for the Greater Minnesota Transit. So the total change for the HUTD I'm highlighting here, is a change of about $55 million in fiscal 2022 and $192 million by the end of the tails in this forecast estimate. Because of these changes, there's a number of general fund tax interactions. They're at the top of the revenue note, one related to the registration tax, that's sort of as a result of itemized deductions because of the registration tax change. Also, tribal agreements, and payments to counties with casinos. That's in relation to the change in the motor fuels tax rate. The only other revenue item that I would note is in Article 6, Section 85 of the bill, and that is could be found in on page 113, and that's an authorization for the Metropolitan Council to issue $98.4 million of bonds based off of their property taxing authority.
Thank you, Mr. Leaf. I have one question. So on the sales tax on auto parts, that amount isn't changing. It just, it looks like what, about 26% of it is now being transferred to townships, small cities, and was it some transit? Is that correct? Or is there, so there's no change in the total amount. It's just about 26% is being transferred or being dedicated to specific areas. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and members, that's correct. Currently, of the sales tax that's attributable to auto parts, under current law, $145.6 million goes to the HUTD and the rest goes to the general fund. That split doesn't change, but within the HUTD amount, rather than going to the HUTD, there's a ramp-up percentage, but you're right, it's near that percentage, about 37.6 million by the tails, rather than going to HUTD, goes to small cities, townships, and Greater Minnesota Transit.
Okay. Thank you very much. Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On that same line, can you explain why the tails 2024-25, we've got 728 in 22 and 23, and all of a sudden it jumps to 7,282. Is that a misprint, or did I just not understand what you explained?
Mr. Lee.
Certainly. I just want to make sure I have the right now. Are you talking about the HUTD dedication, Representative Hertaus?
I'm talking about the sales tax on auto parts. There's an asterisk, and it's got fiscal year 22 through 25. And we see 728, 728, and then all of a sudden 7,282, you know, 7 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A big jump up there in the tail, 10 times.
Yeah, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Representative Hertaus, that's correct. So there's three new sources or three new uses of that auto parts amount. One is small cities, the other is townships, and the third is Greater Minnesota Transit. The Greater Minnesota Transit phase-in amount is much lower in the first 2 years of the biennium, so that's why it's that 728,000 amount, and then is a higher amount in the tails. You'll notice that that it's sort of a different story for small cities, where it starts at a higher amount and stays at that higher amount starting in fiscal 2023 and then into the tails. But yes,
Mr. Chair,
Representative Chair Hornstein.
Yeah, and I also, and it's an excellent observation, Representative Hertaus, and there's a policy reason for this as well. Greater Minnesota Transit in that first biennium is going to benefit from some federal assistance through the CARES Act. And so that is going to fall off in the second biennium, and so then we have the increased allocation at that time. So, you know, I think that it's a good observation, because you know, we felt that there, that particular biennium, that Greater Minnesota Transit would have some needs covered through the federal support.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Chair Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill, what can I say? It's a very good chairman, a very good person carrying it, but it's not a good bill. It's not a good bill for Minnesota. I call this the reverse Robin Hood bill. You're taking from the poor in giving to the rich. One of the most regressive taxes there is a gas tax. And all of a sudden, we thought this session, we were going along pretty fine without a gas tax. All of a sudden, it pops up out of nowhere. And so we're taxing the poor. And I'm just not willing to do that. It is so regressive. But I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time, Mr. Chairman. We know it's not going anywhere. So members, I just don't know how we keep piling up taxes on the poor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Joaquim.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Hornstein, I really do miss being on taxes. I read your summary last night. And could you tell me a little bit more about the small cities aid, road aid? Because I know you've been working on that for a while for the cities under 5,000 and how you got some funding for that. How did that move around the spreadsheet? I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you so much, Chair Joaquim, and we miss you on the Transportation Committee as well. And, Representative Davids is talking about this is such a burden. We're talking about one penny, folks, just to keep up with the cost of inflation. This is a very different arrangement than we had 2 years ago, really for the purpose of trying to meet the other side halfway. We had a 20 cent increase now. That's gone. We took general fund, the other side of the aisle put general fund money into transportation. A little bit, not enough to really make a huge difference, but some. We took that back into the general fund 2 years ago. We left that alone this year. So the two most important things that people seem to have a problem with 2 years ago, we addressed. But we cannot continue to see our infrastructure deteriorate to the degree it is. Bridges crumbling, roads that are rutted, and the Commissioner of Transportation said a number of those are not going to be drivable in 2030. We are in an infrastructure crisis. So the small amount of revenue that we are raising here will go a long way. One penny. There's not a lot of things you can buy with a penny these days. But better roads and bridges and infrastructure is one of them. So to your question, Representative Joaquim, this is a breakthrough. This is monumental. We are actually using that penny to that part of that penny a year new revenue is going to the small city's account. And those of you who live in the small towns that you represent, you know that there are needs in these communities, and it doesn't take a lot of money to repair some of these streets, to repair some of the infrastructure in these cities, but they're not getting that money from the state. They're not getting any dedicated money. And it's a very large percentage. It's, I think, up to, someone told me, 10% of the state lives in these communities. How is it that they're not getting assistance? So we provide assistance in that bill with that small bump in revenue. So that is equitable, Representative Davids. And on the registration fee, we make that more progressive. So to somehow dismiss this bill that it's regressive, that is misleading. And there will be huge benefits accruing to communities all across the state. But I'm glad you asked that, Representative Joaquim, because this is going to benefit so many people that currently are not included in our transportation funding formulas.
So Chair Hornstein, I did hear you mention Representative David's name twice, but I'm gonna go to Representative Joaquim first before I go to Representative David. So Representative Joaquim, anything further on that question?
I just want to thank Chair Hornstein for the work on this. I know we saw some of those same cities come to us with thoughts of local option sales tax to help with their roads because that funding wasn't there. And this is a more appropriate way to fund projects like that. So thank you.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe a question for staff. What is the total revenue raised by in this bill as far as increase from the previous budget?
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, it's in for the 2022-2023 biennium, it's $618 million. And for the tails, it's about $1 billion, $300 million.
Well, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to my good friend Chair Hornstein's comments, it's just a penny. Well, according to Chair Hornstein's math, a penny here and a penny there equals over $1 billion of regressive taxes on the poor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Representative Davids. And you know, sometimes in the legislature, someone will say, my good friend. And Representative Davids is a good friend, and we can talk offline. I'm kind of indirectly responsible for him being here. An organization that I worked for in 1991 enthusiastically endorsed him for his run for the legislature, and we've been friends ever since then. So when I say my friend, Representative Davids, I mean it. But what I want to say to you, friend, is that Mr. Lee is also including the sales tax, a metro sales tax for transit in our region here in the metropolitan area. Parts of the metropolitan area, by the way, that use transit. There's other parts that are not in what's called the transit taxing district. So that is, I just want to note that is included in the figure that Mr. Lee mentioned.
Very good.
About half of it goes to roads and bridges, a little under half of that new revenue goes to roads and bridges, the remainder to transit.
I'm going to go to Representative Miller, then we do have one testifier, and then we'll come back to more members' questions and so forth. So, Representative Miller.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt, and Chair Hornstein. I appreciate you coming here. I was excited to see that your bill and you are going to be part of this committee, and it breaks my heart that I'm not going to be able to support this today, but I did want to comment. By the way, if there was ever a tax increase that I really would want to support, it'd be something that'd be coming from you. But I'm not going to be able to support it. But I do want to thank you. Before session, if you remember, we had a conversation that we need to come up with creative ways to fund towns under 5,000 in townships. And I think you're on to the right path. I think you found a way that we might be able to do this. And I look forward to seeing where this goes through the rest of the session, and maybe we can come up with something that I can support. But thank you. It's a pretty darn good bill, but I'm just not going to be able to support it today.
Mr. Chair?
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you for that, Representative Miller. And I actually was reflecting on our conversation, which I think was before session, maybe in December. And you had, and it had an impact because you were telling me, you know, a lot of detail, and I took note. I think the communities you mentioned were Lake Lillian and Sacred Heart, and you know these are all communities under 5,000. Those are, I think, under 1,000. Prinsburg, where you represent, when you travel west on Highway 7 through the area you represent, it's just dotted with all of these communities that will benefit from this bill. And so you detailed a lot of their needs and I think made a strong case for small cities, Representative Miller.
Chair Marquardt?
Representative Miller.
I thank you for that, Chair Hornstein, and it proves that you are really a person that listens. And I promise to be a person that listens moving forward. And I mean it when I say that if we can move forward this year and come up with something that I can support in the end, you're gonna see me supporting it. So thank you so much for that work on it.
Thank you. Before we move to our one testifier, I do want to note, and I should have said earlier, we did get a letter from the Minnesota Business Partnership on House File 1065, the education omnibus bill. And we do have three letters on House File 1684, also from Minnesota Business Partnership, Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, and Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association, who we have Amber Backhouse here. So Ms. Backhouse, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and please proceed.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I appreciate the opportunity to be before you today. My name is Amber Backus. I'm the Vice President of Public Affairs with the Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association, representing 350 franchise new car dealers that collected over $970 million in sales tax revenue for the state in 2020. When I signed up to testify, I was expecting to address many more vehicle tax provisions than what are in the bill before you today. And I would echo that Chair Hornstein is a great listener. I really thank him for listening to our concerns about the economic and administrative impacts of the new registration and vehicle surcharges that were originally proposed, and thank him for removing them from this bill. And I wish I could say that would address all of our concerns, but we are still opposed to the proposed 0.375 increase in the motor vehicle sales tax, or MVEST. When the MVEST was constitutionally dedicated to transportation purposes in 2006, proponents were ecstatic to have a funding source that, unlike the state's fixed fuel tax, would grow over time. And that is what has happened. Fiscal year 2020 MVEST revenue totaled $810 million, over $210 million more than when it was fully allocated to transportation in 2013. In fact, according to House research, the annual average revenue growth of the MVEST is about 4.8%. That rate of growth exceeds inflationary increases in the National Highway Construction Cost Index by over 1%. So in other words, MVEST revenues are not only keeping up, but outpacing transportation construction costs. And with the new safety and connectivity features continually be adding to vehicles on the market, their prices are continuing to climb much more significantly in the past. There is no need to increase the sales tax rate as this bill does, especially since Minnesotans are already paying so much more than our neighbors in the surrounding states. And as Chair Marquardt alluded to, we did submit a handout, which is in your packets, that shows the much higher MVEST and registration taxes we are paying in Minnesota, 22 to 44% more to fund our state's transportation system than our neighbors in Iowa, Wisconsin, North and South Dakota. And the proposed increase to 6.875% of the motor vehicle sales tax in House File 1684 would make Minnesota's rate the fifth highest vehicle sales tax in the country. And lastly, before I close, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this is the wrong time to be raising taxes on motor vehicles. New car sales were down 15% in 2020 due to the COVID pandemic, their lowest level since 2014, and they're expected to take a few years to recover. Let's not slow that recovery further by adding to the cost and making vehicles less affordable to Minnesotans. And with that, I'll conclude my testimony and be happy to answer any questions. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Backhouse. Any questions for Ms. Backhouse? Seeing none, any further questions from members? Chair Hornstein, I've got a couple questions. You know, we talk a lot about the revenue side of things, but where do those dollars go? So, you know, the dollars you're talking about here in transportation, where do those dollars end up winding up? Where are these revenue? I mean, tell me, where does this money go? Who's going to get, where does it go?
Sure. Well, thank you for that question, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Lee had referenced the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund. And that fund, 62% of the money goes to state roads. So, you know, I talked about Highway 7 heading west through Representative Miller's area towards South Dakota. You know, that's the state, that's that 62% goes to maintain, you know, Highway 7, all of these state roads that I think many of you travel on back and forth from the Capitol to your hometowns and neighborhoods in the Twin Cities. The 29% of it goes to county road. That's county state aid highways. And so again, the counties benefit. And then 9% of that formula, goes to municipalities. That's called MSAS, M-S-A-S. And so those are the cities, again, above 5,000. And now we have a fourth stream, which are added to this bill. Again, very, very important for the small cities. And so that is the road and bridge formula in terms of who benefits. And then on the transit side, we fund transit statewide. So it's the metropolitan transit. We have opt-out service in the metropolitan area. You know, these are the commuter type of buses that go out to Plymouth and Maple Grove and Eden Prairie. We have transit systems throughout the state in rural areas and regional centers. They benefit. Metro mobility. So as I referenced at the beginning, Mr. Chair, it's really every mode of transportation. We have a small amount. I hope it grows over time because many more people are using walking and biking. You know, there's another, I reference Representative Leader. There's another giant in Minnesota transportation history whose shoulders we stand on, Representative Jim Oberstar. And Representative Oberstar used to talk about biking quite enthusiastically as a mode of transportation. And if just a small, tiny percentage of people switched over to that as at least part of their transportation system, the amount of oil and pollution that would be saved was astronomical. Congressman Oberstar used to always talk about that. So biking, walking are modes of transportation as well. So again, every part of the state, every mode funded. But to your question, you know, that highway formula is really the workhorse of our system. And also bridges, by the way, that bridges and roads are funded through that formula that I mentioned.
I really did appreciate your tribute to Representative Leader. There's not many of us probably in on the Zoom that served with him, you know. He, when it came to funding for the state and highways and that, he was quite a legislator. Chair Hornstein, but, you know, we give the money will go to the state or the counties or the cities, but they don't build the roads. Contractors do.
Well, right.
How many people, doesn't this go out to contractors and their workers and ultimately?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm so glad you asked that question because the return on investment with contractors and all of the economic activity that's generated by building roads, repairing roads and bridges, public transit systems, you know, it is some of our best investment per dollar spent. The rate of return, you know, for roads, I think we get $2.50 back for every dollar we spend. Transit, it's even higher, $3 for every dollar we spend. And so you've got contractors, you've got laborers, you've got people in the 49ers, carpenters, all the different trades employed. And I think in this economic time, you know, we know that infrastructure not only creates jobs, good paying jobs, but the infrastructure that's created serves our economy. And I think we found out in the pandemic, Mr. Chair, just how vital our supply chains are, our transportation systems. That literally kept us alive. The transportation infrastructure made sure our food was delivered. You know, the truckers, the essential workers who are commuting to their jobs, healthcare workers and grocery store workers were using public transit. They were still using public transit. Half the people using transit, Mr. Chair, during the height of the pandemic were essential workers. So we discovered a lot about ourselves. I don't need to discover a lot of ourselves through this health and economic crisis. And one thing we discovered is how vital investments in transportation are.
Thank you. I've got one more question. We have two more testifiers, but back a few years ago, I was looking at this, which kind of surprised me, but that our local units of governments, our cities and counties actually spent more of what it's called own source revenue, property taxes and levy on transportation than the total amount that went into the highway user tax distribution fund. Are those numbers correct if I remember right? And could some of the funding here, especially that goes to smaller cities, could that help the property tax levy some? Because instead of it coming out of the city's own source revenues, which is levies, now the state could pick up some of that?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm sensitive, you know, again, just back to Chair Davids, I'm sensitive to your concerns on progressivity. And that's why at least we are making the registration fees more progressive in this bill. But you're absolutely right. The property tax is the absolute most regressive tax we have. And so what is happening as we underinvest, as our state needs just outpace the funding that we have available, more and more local communities are relying on the property tax for basic road maintenance needs. And so we can make the transportation system in terms of our revenue raising much more progressive through the approach we're using in this bill, because if we continue to underfund, you're going to have local municipalities relying much more, increasingly more. If you look at a trend line, Mr. Chair, you're going to see local communities and using the property tax by increasing increments in over the last decade or two for road and infrastructure needs because the state is not keeping up. So your point is very well taken. We are over relying, I would say, on the property tax, particularly in cities. So again, this helps that problem.
Thank you. Representative Switzinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then just a general, I got one question for the author of the bill and then a question for nonpartisan fiscal staff. You brought a good point up, Chair Marquardt, when you talked about who actually builds the roads. And who is that? That is the construction companies, that is the workers. In this bill, does it rescind the sales tax on those particular construction companies when they do lump sum contracts for the state, lump sum contracts for the counties, lump sum contracts for local cities and towns when they do roads? Because it's my understanding that they pay sales tax on concrete, they pay sales tax on rebar, they pay sales tax on the actual things that build the roads when the contracts are done as a lump sum contract. Does this repeal that tax?
Okay, maybe should I ask Mr. Lee that or Chair Hornstein? Who would like to answer?
I don't believe it does, but Mr. Lee can affirm that.
Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair and members, that's correct. That's not, provision is not contained in this bill.
Yeah. Representative Swazinski.
I prepared a bill, obviously, that would cover this in total, but I've also had one in the past to actually address this particular area in just transportation. And it's my understanding that it was, if you looked at all levels of government within the road construction area repeal the sales taxes you have on the materials just for road construction. I believe it was like in that $30 to $40 to $50 million that it would potentially save. That would, because it is a dedicated tax. Mm-hmm. That tax then, through gasoline tax passes through and then goes off to the general fund. And so, if we do want to keep up with inflation, if we do want to pursue this by raising taxes, we should at least make sure that the dollars that are spent in transportation stay in transportation. That was probably less of a question and more of a statement, and maybe just get a reaction from the chair or the, these are important things. If we believe in gravel, we believe in track. Some of us believe in track. There you go.
No, thank you, Representative Swazinski. And I know you've had the bill that would kind of do the blanket on the sales tax on, cities and counties doing that. And we did a little bit of it this year in the tax bill, of course, with Representative David's portion on public safety facilities. But it kind of comes down to, the amount and so forth. I think the goal is great. It's just trying to get there. So,
Mr. Chair?
Chair Hornstein.
But just very briefly, the last comment you made, Representative Swazinski, I appreciated because, when you talked about transportation dollars raised staying in transportation, it's a good reminder, especially for people who may not be, living and breathing transportation funding like we do in our committee. It's really important to note that the major streams that go into this highway trust fund, user tax distribution fund that I mentioned, whether it's the gas tax, the registration fee, the motor vehicle sales tax, we've talked about all three of those in this hearing. There's other streams of revenue as well, but those are the top three, general fund as well. But all of the money that goes into that, with the exception of general fund, the three taxes I mentioned before, are dedicated constitutionally for roads and bridges. So, sometimes there's this mistaken view that, let's use the gas tax for, why are they using the gas tax for trains? It's not allowed in the Constitution. It's roads and bridges only. And obviously, outside of transportation, that's not even a discussion. And some people think you can use the gas tax for schools, et cetera. That's not the case. So remember this, gas tax, registration fees, motor vehicle sales tax constitutionally dedicated roads and bridges only, although there's a small portion of Vanvest, I should correct myself, that goes to transit, a portion of that. But registration fee, gas tax, roads, bridges only.
Representative Swazinski.
No, I'm good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, very good. Representative Hertaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Chair Hornstein, you're one of those members that I truly and genuinely appreciate working together with and working in a bipartisan manner. And you've done a lot on this bill, particularly with regard to the district that I represent, where there's no internet for quite a bit of it. But there's also, believe it or not, in Hennepin County, I've got about 160 miles of gravel road that in a metro county that these communities simply can't afford to pave them. And believe it or not, gravel roads do require quite a bit of maintenance as well as the standard maintenance that goes with a paved road. But I'd like to echo just a couple things that Representative Miller and Representative Swazinski said. I think I find myself in the same position. I want to work with you and would like to creatively have an offline discussion about different ways that we can improve revenue for transportation in Minnesota. I recently just paid for, at my own expense, expansion of a county road, and I got quite an education on the design standards and the extraordinary costs for minor improvements that made projects very expensive. And I'd be happy to share some of my experiences with you offline about what we might do as a state to improve our contracting and the installation of roads and expansions and some of the standards and criteria in which we currently feel that is only one way to do a task. I will share with you, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe three, took a tour with MnDOT, a bus tour around the metro area for some of the improvements that were going on our freeway system. And I thought it was interesting that one of the engineers on the bus, I no longer remember who it was, but he said, you know, we engineers sometimes only have one way we do things, and we're learning to be more flexible, and here's an example of how. And he went on to show that even in the metro area where there's a lot of congestion, that 11-foot wide travel lanes work instead of 12-foot wide travel lanes. And there's all sorts of other nuances with regard to the expansion and construction of new roads. Lastly, I'd just like to close with my continued concern that of all of the transportation dollars which you have talked about, of which is dedicated constitutionally and other dollars that we spend as a legislature, I would like to emphasize that 98% of all ridership in this state uses a particular mode. And I think disproportionately we're spending money in multi-modes of transportation, I know, which you strongly support, and I think there's a place for it, but some of this really is proving to be quite a boondoggle in many regards in terms of what the long-term costs are going to be. And when we're talking about inadequate amounts of funding for the long-term, and we've heard projections, you know, 10 years out that we're $6 billion short, I suppose that number has gone up since that statement was made in the last biennium. But we certainly have felt, and as Representative Swazinski had mentioned, the more that we can dedicate revenues that are related to transportation, we're closing the gap. But I too, like Representative Miller, today is not the day for me. I really like a lot of what you've got in the bill, but I just can't support the massive amount of tax increases. And lastly, like the gas tax, it's kind of on autopilot. It would just keep going up, keep indexing, and that's what we're here for, is to have some oversight and make sure that things don't get run away. But thank you, Chair Hornstein, for everything you've done, and I'd be happy to talk to you offline.
Chair Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think for the record, I think we need to correct the record. I think my friend Chair Hornstein said that property taxes were the most regressive. Maybe staff could help me out. I don't think that's correct. I think the gas tax is probably twice as regressive, and the sales tax is not quite twice as regressive. Maybe if a nonpartisan House researcher could just correct that for the record, or did I misunderstand that?
Does someone, Mr. Swanson, if you have that incident report, you could give us. I know the property tax and sales tax are somewhat close, and I know gambling and gas tax and cigarette taxes are more regressive, you know, but where are they exactly, Mr. Swanson? I don't have my book with me.
Mr. Chair and Representative Davids, according to the 2021 tax incident study, the two most regressive taxes are lawful gambling and cigarette and tobacco taxes.
Oh, yeah. And then where is Mr. property Chairman, taxes and sales taxes?
Mr. Chair, homeowner property taxes and sales taxes are slightly less regressive than the tax types I just mentioned, and the motor fuels excise tax is pretty much right in between the two.
Okay.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure that, for the record, that was correct. I'd also like to just comment on some things that have been said out here. And of course, one of them's on Twitter. Chair Dabney is out there commenting about the Republicans, how knee-jerk partisan are the Republicans, and he goes on. So you might want to just look at Twitter. And then I'd have Representative Sandell look at that just to explain some of his previous questions.
There you go. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Hornstein.
Today is your day, Gregory. This is an inside joke, sort of. I stand corrected, and I appreciate your pointing that out.
Well, thank you, Chair Hornstein and Mr.
Representative
Chairman.
Davids.
It was Mrs. Blakesley that had to bring to my attention from time to time when I was acting out in the sixth grade that, Gregory, today is not the day.
But today was your day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Any further discussion on House File 1684? If not, I'm going to turn it over to Chair Hornstein for final comments. And I do appreciate the discussion today on transportation taxes, because we actually don't deal with that much actually in tax committee. So it is nice to have this day where we can talk about that. So Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really enjoyed this discussion and the questions and hearing people's perspectives. I appreciate the members on both sides of the aisle, and I look forward to I'm sure we'll have a pretty good and robust discussion on the floor. And I know Representative Hurtas, yes, let's continue the conversation that was started today. Again, I would be happy to. Yeah, all of the members have transportation issues in the areas you represent, and it's something it's a part of our lives every day.
Chair Hornstein, would you halt? Representative Sandell, your screen is up on our screen. We can see what's on your screen. So if you could, someone has the screen up that we're seeing. And
that is very interesting.
I don't know whose that is, but okay, we're good now. So I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
I will wrap this up, Mr. Chair, before anyone else gets in trouble. I just wanted to thank everybody. And you know, again, we all have, everyone has an issue or two or three in the area they represent that has to do with transportation, public transit, inner city passenger rail, whatever it is. And I enjoy our conversations about it. And I'm always available to members of the tax committee if you'd like to have any conversations. So thank you for the great discussion, Mr. Chair. I hope I would value your support for this bill and look forward to our further discussions about it. Thank you, members, and Mr. Chair.
Chair Hornstein, it's always a pleasure to have you in the taxes committee. Thank you. So members, with that, we're going to do a roll call on House File 1684 to re-refer this bill to the Committee on Ways and Means. Ms. Gruska, please take the roll.
Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Lislegard.
Lislegard, aye.
Lislegard, aye. Davids. Davids.
Davids. Davids, no.
Davids, no. Agbaje.
Agbaje, aye.
Agbaje, aye. Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Detmer.
Detmer, nay.
Detmer, nay. Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Gomez.
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Her.
Her, aye.
Her, aye. Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Howard.
Aye.
Howard, aye. McDonald.
Donald, nay.
McDonald, nay. Miller.
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Moran.
Moran, aye.
Moran, aye. Mortensen.
No.
Mortensen, no. Robbins.
No.
Robbins, no. Sandell.
Aye.
Sandell, aye. Schultz.
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Stevenson. Stevenson, aye. Swazinski.
Swazinski, no.
Swazinski, no. Joachim.
Joachim, aye.
Joachim, aye. We have 12 ayes and 9 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does prevail. House File 1684 is re-referred to the Committee of Ways and Means. Chair Hornstein, thank you much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Very good. Next bill we have, House File 9. Anyone care to make the motion to move House File 9 to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means?
I'll move, Mr. Chair.
Chair Joaquin moves. House File Number 9 to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Greenman, welcome to the committee. Nice to have you here. Representative Greenman, I think you have an amendment also. And so, Representative Joaquin, do you want to move the A16 amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move the A16 amendment.
Representative Joaquin moves the A16 amendment. Representative Greenman, welcome to the committee. What does the A16 amendment do?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Joaquin, for moving my bill and my amendment. And I'm excited to be here. It's my first time in front of taxes. So the bill defends and strengthens Minnesota's traditions of voter registration and grassroots participation. What the A16 amendment does is amends out the article of the bill that updates our public financing system, and specific to the jurisdiction of the tax committee, it removes the provision repealing and replacing the political contribution refund with a Democracy Dollars coupon. I do want to start by talking a little bit about the public financing modernization.
So, is there any more on the A16 amendment, Representative Greenman?
Mr. Chair, I was just going to explain a bit about the conversation we've been having around this policy.
Very good. Please proceed. I'm very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to give a little sense of the policy modernization has been an important part of the conversation we've been having around House File 9. And ensuring that the voices of Minnesotans from every background, every zip code, and political persuasion are at the center of our democracy. This specific provision is an effort to respond to what we've been hearing in Minnesota for years, concerns about the influx of big money and the influence of donors and special interests in our elections. It's designed to build on Minnesota's best traditions of grassroots campaigns and small dollar public financing. So our longtime public financing program that's been popular with both Minnesotans, with the political contribution refund, the PCR, where Minnesotans have used to support the candidates of their choice, and with candidates across the political spectrum who participate. 2020, 86% of candidates running for the Minnesota legislature, Democrats and Republicans, participated in our public financing program. Minnesotans count on the public financing system to counter the impacts of big money and ensure that Minnesota candidates can run on the strength of voter support and not just on how much money they can raise. but over the decades, our public financing system hasn't kept up, and it's made it harder for candidates to rely on the program to run grassroots campaigns. What this provision would do is expand access by providing every registered Minnesota voter who may use the PCR with a $50 coupon to use so that any voter could participate and they don't have to have 50 bucks on hand. And it would streamline the program to remove the burdens of requiring candidates to provide receipts and requiring Minnesotans to put out the money and wait. At the end of the day, this is about making sure Minnesota voters, not wealthy interests or big donors, are calling the shots. Through the conversations we've been having with Minnesotans and the five previous committees we've had on this bill, it's clear there's a desire to continue this conversation, to bring more voices to the table, and to continue working on strengthening and modernizing our public financing system. And given the popularity of the PCR with members of both parties, I'm optimistic that with some additional time and conversations, we can work together to strengthen this policy and our approach to empowering Minnesotans in our elections. So this amendment takes out that public finance provision of House File 9 so we can keep working on it and send the rest of the bill to Ways and Means. And sadly, with this amendment, it removes the one provision in House File 9 that's under the jurisdiction of the Tax Committee. And so at this point in session, I also feel like I'm doing a little bit to lighten your load, Mr. Chair. And so I'm happy to, the Campaign Finance Board Executive Director Jeff Sigurdsson is on in case folks have questions. But since we're amending out this provision, I will leave it to you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Greenman, thank you so much. I appreciate that. So we do have the A16 amendment before us. Any questions on the A16 amendment? Which is deleting Article 4 of the bill. If not, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor of the A16 amendment, please say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A16 amendment is adopted. So in effect, as Representative Greenman stated, kind of the one portion of the bill that dealt in the taxes jurisdiction has been removed. So I guess Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we have a long tradition in the House of Representatives. I believe it extends to the Tax Committee that when a member comes to a committee for the very first time, they usually bring treats of some sort. Now, I understand that we're in the middle of a pandemic, so I can only assume that Representative Greenman has either FedExed or priority mailed us our greeting. Representative Greenman, can you tell me what is the tribute you're paying to members of the committee today in terms of treats or dessert for us today?
And Representative Groffel, I will tell you, I've been keeping track during this remote year of who will owe us when we get back to normal duties, if you will. But Representative Greenman, any thoughts about that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Garofalo, I'm disappointed to hear you didn't get my Thin Mints in the mail, but hopefully any day now you'll be getting them from the USPS.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Garofalo,
to quote a former member, it's a sad day in Minnesota. Sad day in Minnesota. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Representative Joachim.
I have been bringing cookies almost every week, and I missed the last few weeks. They'll be outside my office. I'm covering all the new members so that we don't have to do this stupid tradition anymore. So I will continue to put cookies outside my office once we get through these next few weeks.
Thank you. Representative Swazinski.
Not today. Not today.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, who started this tradition?
I think it might have been you, Representative.
You are correct. You are correct.
Yeah, there are a number of traditions in Tax Committee and other committees, yes. All right. Anything else on, since everyone's getting hungry now, on House File 9 as amended? I don't think there's really any much more for us to do. Representative Joachim renews her motion to move House File 9 as amended to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and we need to take a roll call. So, Ms. Griska, please take the roll.
Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Lislegard.
Liz Lagard, aye.
Liz Lagard, aye. Davids?
Davids, no.
Davids, no. Agbaje?
Agbaje, aye.
Agbaje, aye. Carlson?
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Detmer?
Detmer, nay.
Detmer, nay. Garofalo?
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Gomez?
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Her?
Her, aye.
Her, aye. Hertas?
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Howard?
Aye.
Howard, aye. McDonald?
McDonald, nay.
McDonald, nay. Miller?
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Moran? Moran? Mortensen?
No.
Moran, aye. Mortensen, no.
Mortensen, no.
Robbins?
No.
Robbins, no. Sundell?
Aye.
Sundell, aye. Schultz?
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Stevenson?
Stevenson, aye.
Stevenson, aye. Swazinski?
No.
Swazinski, no. Joachim?
Joachim, aye.
Joachim, aye.
There being 12 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does prevail. House file number 9, as amended, is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Greenman, thanks so much for your work on this bill and for your presentation today.
Thank you so much, and I promise when we are back in person, I will bring treats the next time in front of Tax Committee. Not a great baker, but I will support the Girl Scouts.
We'll find some bill in which you can appear before the committee. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Members, last bill on the agenda is House File 500, Local Government Debt Financing Modification. I will move that bill to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And to get it into the proper form, I have an A3 amendment. I believe it's, the A3 amendment. I'd like to move the A3 amendment. Members, what the A3 amendment does, and this is the public finance bill. We heard it a while back. It is Article 11 of the tax bill that we just moved out of committee yesterday. And the difference is between when I first testified on this bill to what we passed yesterday, that's what this amendment is, to get it into the same language as the tax bill that passed yesterday. So members, I'd like to ask for your vote. Any questions on the A3 amendment?
My dad worked as a childhood educator. My mom was a social worker. Here's little.
Hearing any further discussion? None. I will call for the vote. All those in favor of the A3 amendment, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, say no. The motion does prevail. The A3 amendment is adopted. So, members, the bill is very technical. It deals with county transportation sales taxes being used for capital costs of construction projects related to transportation projects, deals with allowing municipalities to use street reconstruction bond proceeds to construct bicycle lanes and sidewalks that are also part of that project, deals with outdated, confusing terminology relating to interest rates and escrow accounts. So it's everything that was in the bill you've heard before, and very technical. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the vote. We need to take a roll call on this, and I'm just being honest. This is a vehicle bill, of course, and this is House File 500 as amended. Ms. Griska, please take the vote.
Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Liz Lagard.
Liz Lagard, aye.
Liz Lagard, aye. Davids.
Davids, aye.
Davids, aye. Agbaje.
Agbaje, aye.
Agbaje, aye. Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Detmer.
Detmer, aye.
Detmer, aye. Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Gomez. Gomez.
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Her.
Her, aye.
Her, aye. Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Howard.
Aye.
Howard, aye. McDonald.
McDonald, aye.
McDonald, aye. Miller.
Miller, aye.
Miller, aye. Moran.
Aye.
Moran, aye. Mortensen.
No.
Mortensen, no. Robbins.
Aye.
Robbins, aye. Sundell.
Aye.
Sundell, aye. Schultz.
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Stevenson.
Stevenson, aye.
Stevenson, aye. Swadzinski.
Swadzinski, aye.
Swadzinski, aye. Joachim.
Joachim, aye.
Joachim, aye. We have 18 ayes and 3 nays.
There being 18 ayes and 3 nays, the motion does prevail. House File 500, as amended, is re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Members, that completes our work. Say thanks so much for the work this week. And, you know, in any job or anything you do, you know, the work is always rewarding. But I'm going to tell you what makes this an honor to chair this committee are the people, the excellent people I get to work with on this committee. So thanks for all of your work. There's no meeting scheduled, although I know we're going to be back before the end of the session. Usually something will come up. And we'll stay in the loop, but nothing scheduled into the future here, at least for next week. So thank you, members. Chair Davis.
Well, thank you, Chair Mark Cord. And since this, it's probably not the last meeting, but it's kind of the last official meeting until we get into various things that'll come in, because the tax committee has no deadlines. That being said, again, today here, I would just like to reiterate what you said, and the tax committee is the best committee. And we have wonderful staff. Now, I hope that Ms. Templin doesn't rule me out of order here, but we have excellent staff for the tax committee. We get the best of the best. And with our House research folks, the DFL research, the Republican research, I call the folks that I work with every day the A team. They really are. And Mr. Chairman, thank you for your efforts. Vice Chair Lislegard, thank you for your efforts. And hopefully, I'm a very optimistic person. I am a very optimistic person, and hopefully we can put a good tax bill together that helps all Minnesotans. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, members, and staff.
Well, thank you very much. And as a former chair yourself of this committee, you know how valuable not only membership of the committee and how it kind of just sets the atmosphere, but I will echo what you're saying as far as our excellent staff. And it makes things run, and it is an excellent committee. And I am confident when all is said and done that hopefully we can have a bill that everyone will be able to support. So members, enjoy the weekend. Thanks for your great work. Staff, thanks for your great work. And with that, we are adjourned.